Ich will gar nicht viel reden. Der nächste Talk. Krypto ist Abwehr, IFG ist Angriff von Arne Semsrott. Er arbeitet für die Open Knowledge Foundation, betreut dort Frag den Staat und wird uns jetzt in einer kurzen halben Stunde den Jahresrückblick 2015 geben. Heißt ihn willkommen.
Hello and welcome. You're listening to the translation of Crypto is Defense, Freedom of Information is Attack at the 32nd Chaos Communication Congress. Yes, thank you for that introduction. We're a bit early, so I can talk a bit more. So the year 2015 in the Freedom of Information, this is what happened this year. I've got 2 minutes left.
Advantage. Yeah. What cunning ruse has German schoolboy Simon Schrader come up with to give him the edge?
What, in exams?
It is an edge in exams. How is he going to get the edge?
He's going to revise properly. A strategy unknown to so many young persons.
It's not that. He has filed a Freedom of Information request to see the questions.
So what exactly happened there? A 17-year-old Simon Schrader used Frag den Staat in his preparation for his final exams. I've found a loophole in the Freedom of Information law, and he tried to get his exam questions in advance through a Freedom of Information request. And a famous German news site used this, and then it was all throughout worldwide media. And it was fun to read some of the comments, for instance, at The Guardian. Only a German, and I mean this in the nicest way, would ask for permission to cheat. This was just from a British comedy show. I don't think this could have happened in a German comedy show, for various reasons, but mainly because it wouldn't work. A joke like that has to be quick, it has to be quickly understandable, and that wouldn't work in Germany. I mean, somebody made a Freedom of Information request, which is, yeah, it just wouldn't work. That would be too much explaining to do. And that's why we need new narratives. And at the end of my talk, I will talk about things we can do there to change that narrative a bit. But first off, what exactly is this all about? What's the point of the Freedom of Information? It's mainly about knowledge for the sake of power. This means that there are only a few people in administrations have access to information, and the Freedom of Information Act gives us the opportunity to get that information. So we can get that knowledge that was initially limited to a few people. We all can benefit from it, and that's a very The Freedom of Information Act is a very important tool for that. We can't use it for everything, we can't use it for government agencies, but for pretty much anything else. And this exists on a federal level as well as on a state level, not in all states, though. There's no freedom of information in the countries you see in red on this map, but they're planned to come into force within the next few years in most of them. And remember that some of these are states that are governed by conservative governments. It's also planned to be in Hesse, but the Green Party actually lost interest in it since they started to be in government. There's always going to be a transparency law in Rheinland-Pfalz, so this will not only give you the possibility to request information, but government will actually be able to publish information proactively, like important treaties, and they're going to be published proactively, and you don't have to request them in advance. It's supposed to come into effect in Thuringia as well, and stuff is happening. The only state that's going to stay red on this map is Bavaria, and it's going to stay that way for a while. But there's hope there as well. Many counties have their own Freedom of Information Acts, like cities like Munich or Regensburg, they have their own Freedom of Information Acts. So if you live there, you can get information there as well. And also a small place called Bad Aibling has a Freedom of Information Act. So let's hear a few success stories. There's been Bundeswehr. It's Bundeswehr, the German army has a new campaign. It's cost them more than 10 million euros. And the slogan was, do something that really counts. And they use that to get new recruits. And we requested a list of all the ad spaces they used in Berlin. And we got about 60 pages of Word documents where all the posters were. And if you look at it closely, there were three areas that they mainly targeted. One of them was schools, mostly higher education, then all the universities, and thirdly, it was McFit gyms. This means that if you see one of these posters in Berlin, you're either near a school or close to a gym, or both. Moving on, there's been the historic first visit of a German minister to Iran. That was our Minister of Economy, Sigmar Gabriel. And he had some other people joining him as well. And we asked for a list of who they were. And this is mainly the who's who of the German industry. I mean, for instance, BASF, Daimler, Siemens, Volkswagen, ThyssenKrupp. This is something that we have to do more of. We have to ask our governments who they're inviting to come abroad with them. Another thing, the G7 logo, Abgeordnetenwatch used our platform to make a Freedom of Information request on our platform, and it costs about 80,000 euros to create that logo up there. It cost a bit more because they initially created a G8 logo. But then they threw out Russia, and it was all of a sudden it was G7. And that explains why there's such a gap in the middle there. That probably was Russia. There's this. Malte Spitz made a request to the Ministry of Education. Because Dietmar Gorni, the lobby of the content producers, he started to get involved in digital economy at the ministry. And Malte Spitz asked to see all the letters that were involved in this. And it turned out that initially it was only clear that Dietmar Gorni was supposed to get some post, but it wasn't clear what. But then these mails contain questions like, what are we supposed to do with him? And it turned out that eventually they simply asked Gorni to say what he wanted, what he would like to work as, and now he became this sort of ambassador. So this is something else you should do more of, get some of the internal correspondence that happened within ministries. And of course, another thing, the one of the German higher courts, because there's the scientific service of the German parliament, and they do a lot of the scientific work in the background of the parliament. And there's been a ruling that now allows us to get some internal works from them as well. For instance, the ancillary copyright law turns out to be illegal, or the or congestion charges, or the saving of communications data turned out to be illegal. And the federal president, no, he's still legal. And these are interesting because it turned out, a few years ago, a German official wanted made a request to do some research into life on other planets, and it turns out this is really boring. None of this is very interesting. But if you look more closely, there's something's blacked out here. We still have to keep fighting because they're still keeping something secret from us. This leads us to the problems we have. The scientific service won't give us any lists of the research they did, because that would be too invasive into their work. And this is something that happens with a lot of work. And it's connected to him. The Ministry of the Interior has supervises this freedom of information law, and it's simply not sufficient to just drown them in mail, and we need to take another path. What they do, for instance, is they don't reply to any mails from Fraktinstaat, because they're not actually an email provider, so we're not going to give you any replies. So if you think we're not a real mail provider, we're just going to start becoming a proper email provider. And it's called echtemail.de. It's very fast. It's got sorry. It has a There's a problem. You can't solve these captchas when you try to sign up. And we tried this, and it worked for a few days. And people actually did send replies to echtemail.de, but eventually they found out that it was just the same thing under a different name. So now we're where we left off a few weeks ago. If you send a letter to the Ministry of the Interior, they're not going to reply by email. They'll reply by mail. So it costs more. You have to scan it yourself, and it's also connected to the German police, to the Berlin police. A few weeks ago, they charged 15 euros for a reply that took them 15 minutes, including 1 euro for sending an email. So a letter would have been cheaper at 62 cents. And I think that's a step in the right direction. We can sue more often. Because we can see this with one particular case this year. And it's connected to to the house ID cards of the German Parliament, because Abgeordnetenwatch made a freedom of information request and wanted to find out which people got these house ID cards, and a few thousand people did. They allow them to walk into Parliament whenever they see fit. So a few factions didn't want to provide this information, and Abgeordnetenwatch sued. And this was very successful in the first and second instance. And now we can see a list of the lobbyists that have unlimited access to the German Parliament.
Right. Bringing suit is pretty easy. You do a freedom of information request, it gets rejected, or it costs too much, but you don't want to pay, then you object, and then if they reject the objection, then you can bring suit. Well, we found a very powerful enemy, because Abgeordnetenwatch also made a request ask the parliament what they paid their lawyers for the various processes. Well, it turned out that in the process about the scientific service that I just explained, the parliament spent about 80,000 euros just for the lawyers. This is the law firm Rüdiger Zellner-Das. They're a law firm that defended Flick, they defended former President Christian Wolff, and they now represent the parliament in matters of transparency. The problem is that the parliament has pretty limited resources, because they use our taxes to pay the lawyers. Right, which puts us gives us quite a big challenge because we also have to finance our own suit, whereas the other side doesn't really have to do that. This is why we thought we have to do something about this. Right, so we added, in addition to Freitag.de, we added launched a new platform, which is called SueTheState.de, Verklagtdenstaat.de. Right. It's not a very big site yet, but the objective is to create a database where all the information regarding suits for the freedom of information will be collected. For example, there's a big database in Brandenburg which already contains about 600 decisions on this matter. And there's our mailing list where a couple of experts are on this topic. Or we'll help you fundraising if you want to do this kind of suit. What does it cost normally in front of the administrative court? What does it cost if you don't want to get represented by a lawyer? It's about 4 to 5 euros. But if you do have a representative, then maybe it's about 1,000 euros. But the administrative courts, they will help you. And we also want to do that. We want to do the same thing. And I think these suits, these court cases, are a very important part of the narrative, which I mentioned at the beginning. If you sue, then it becomes clear what's being discussed. And if you go in front of a court, then it becomes clear this is a right that we have. Like, if we bring suit against the parliament, it doesn't want to say something, and we go in front of the court, and it gets brought up in the media. Well, it helps us all to clarify this whole narrative about the knowledge of those in power and us. This is why the new motto is not just ask the state, but ask the state and then sue the state. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right, that was pretty fast. Okay, we have a lot of time for Q&A.
Jo, reichlich Zeit für Q&A. Bisher nur einer an Mikro.
Okay, lots of time for Q&A. Microphone one.
Ihr habt jetzt ja keinen, in Anführungszeichen, echten E-Mail.
So you don't have a real E-Mail server.
Ja, E-Mail-Server, genau.
E-Mail-Server, yes. What prevents you from having one or creating plugins so you just provide a button that forwards it to your website?
Well, I'm not an expert, but if you want to do a provider, then we also have to deal with data retention, which there are a lot of various legal problems which we can't deal with. We're having half a person.
And do you think somebody else might be able to do that?
Denn Mikro 2.
Es geht um die 100.000 Euro, die für.
It's about the 100,000 euros that went to the law office. In this case, the German finance court would be our friend, because we could use them to find out if this is all right, and if these amounts are justified.
Mikro 3.
Erstmal ganz tolles Projekt.
Firstly, great project. Secondly, you said it's mostly down to the state level, but what about federal matters?
Right, it's always about the office that deals with it. There's already a national freedom of information, and then there's various different laws in the various counties which are progressive to a different extent. Well, I think the national one is about average. And if I ask the federal ministry, then the federal freedom of information is active. If I ask the county ministry, then the county law is. But if you use our platform, then don't worry. We'll put in the correct text.
Da stehen noch mehr, aber egal.
So the fight continues for mainly the German parliamentarians, especially with regards to the House ID cards. And secondly, Thilo Jung, he also makes great, great examples.
Vielen Dank für den Werbeblock, aber eigentlich sollen Fragen gestellt werden. Vielleicht eine Frage von Mikro 4.
Hallo?
Ja, ich habe tatsächlich eine Frage.
I actually do have a question. You said that we should sue the state when it sends bills that are too high. What's the...
Das ist einfach nur eine Rechnung, die mir gestellt wird, um meine Frage zu blockieren.
What's the... like, what's the limit of a bill that's too high? It's just they're just trying to block me.
Well, the maximum limit is for you is 500 euros. That's the maximum limit, plus cost for copying. There are calculation, the basis of calculation from the Ministry of Interior, which is subdivided depending on what it costs them. It's a bit of a question of matter of experience. If you're not sure, then just ask us. But this is something that was can often be dealt with an objection. They take back such a excessive request, because especially this whole question about fees is where they use the biggest tricks to try and block this kind of requests.
How much does it normally cost to send a request?
It's usually free. About 2/3 of the requests are free. And if it's really a lot of effort, then they usually cost around up to 100 euros. Anything more is rare.
Auch noch der Hinweis, in manchen Ländern gibt's Gebührenordnungen.
Also in some states there are maximum amounts. The first question from the internet, don't you become suspicious by sending these requests?
Well, you can use requests pseudonymously or anonymously using our platform as well.
And secondly, do you think it's a good thing that you're able or even forced to object before suing?
You should definitely do it, because if you do object it, because it gets escalated in the ministry level and they look at it again, which is just, it's part of the process, I think.
Gut, ich jetzt wieder im Saal, und zwar am Mikro 3.
Ja, nochmal wegen der E-Mail-Problematik.
I was wondering about the email problems. Why do you host it yourself? Why don't you use a professional provider like CCC or Posteo?
Well, just to talk about it more fundamentally, we have about half a person working on it. It's difficult to implement these kind of bigger technical solutions. In principle, we want that the Interior Ministry behaves more transparently, and just to adapt our technical solutions should not be the objective. The objective should be that the ministries respond in a manner that just like everyone else. And this is why I think that's the wrong approach, to just or keep changing our technology, but the correct solution is to get a political solution.
Und Mikro 1 bitte.
Dann gibt es ja seit jetzt 2 Jahren und Anfang dieses Jahres.
For 2 years we've had this vision or the G8 Open Data Charta. Do you use that? Does it help you in any way in bringing the freedom of information to states that don't have it yet?
Nope.
Mikro 2, bitte.
Wir können gleich nochmal quatschen. Well, we can have a chat about it later.
Ja. Rein aus der Praxis.
From your personal practice, how much more progressive is the transparency law compared to the Freedom of Information Act? Because Rheinland-Pfalz has is putting my one of my favorites, the Ramstein Air Base, into
it's
more focus.
It's much more progressive, because as soon as the transparency law is introduced, they usually also educate the administration. They normally get educated that to be more friendly towards the citizens and to be more transparent, which leads that in general the success percentage is higher. They answer more quickly. They ask for fewer fees.
Und die vier.
Was ist denn die Konsequenz, wenn dort?
So what's the consequence if they don't tell the truth? What are your options?
You can all still bring suit still. This can be also clarified in front of the court as part of a court case. It's the same road as before, the objection and then bring it to the courts.
Als Bewohner von einem dieser roten Länder.
I live in one of the red states.
Wie sieht's konkret aus? Wie weit unterstützt ihr?
What exactly is the outlook? How do you support people who live in a city where one of these laws is at least in effect on a city level?
We have all the sort of communal level administrations in our database, and we're in the sort of community, which is the Freedom of Information League in Bavaria, which are trying to work on this to get have more communities adapted. But we'll help you happily.
Nochmal die Nummer zwei.
Ja, gerade wurde schon US Airbase genannt.
Somebody spoke about the US Airbase, and it rang some bells because this is the biggest exceptions. So which are the subjects that don't help, where you can't help?
Anything to do with secret services and the whole sort of whole complex. There are a lot of exception reasons, which are interior security, but the secret services are anyway accepted on their own. Well, this is not going to bring you toward the solution. But what you can try is to ask ministries which are related to it to like get a few make a few requests around the edges. But the success percentage is not that great.
Und dann das Internet, aber erstmal Nummer
4. Wow, ich habe ganz kurz noch.
But just briefly, I didn't talk for a long time. Huh? I should have sped up. Anyway.
Du hattest vorher erwähnt, dass der.
You just said that the scientific service doesn't provide any lists of its research. Is there any way that allows you to get some interesting stuff of which you don't know that it exists?
Right, we thought about it for a long time to come up with like some sort of anonymous mailbox. Tell us your sort of document IDs so that you can tell us. Well, you can talk about areas. You can ask about areas. You can ask about an overview about files that relate to a specific area. For example, you can ask for all internal notices concerning certain areas within a certain amount of time, and through in this way, usually you will get the documents that you didn't know existed previously.
Und dann vermutlich einfach weiter durch die Google.
And then you just work your way through the documents. Yes.
Korreferate, bitte. Das Stichwort ist Aktenplan. Das ist ein sehr wertvolles Wort. Das Internet, bitte.
Ja, eine Frage ist hier noch aufgekommen.
One question that came up: are they allowed to deny a reply, for instance, with regards to the alien invasion, and what would they do?
No, they are not allowed to reject the question. They can either answer it or reject the request, but they have to give you a good reason. And the Freedom of Information Act defines what are valid reasons, if I've understood correctly.
And a final question. What about public service broadcasting and state-level broadcasters? Are these often covered?
Yes,
by this?
Usually they are, but they normally, most of the Freedom of Information Acts have some exceptions. You can only request from them if, let me try and remember, if they are related to the office, like open the public broadcast, public administration, everything that relates to administration, but anything that related to research about journalists, you cannot get it.
Sehr genau, weil wir noch zwei Minuten Zeit haben. Deshalb zwei kurze Fragen und dann müssen wir leider Schluss machen. Also Mikro 4 war zuerst da.
Glaube ich nicht. Wann macht es Sinn?
So when does it make sense to use the Freedom of Information Act? Does it sometimes it makes more sense to just send them a nice email or you know give them a nice phone call and ask them if they simply hand over the information?
You can try it, yeah, definitely.
Wird sich das mit manchen Behördenmitarbeitern
maybe it's worth it with a couple of members of the public administration just to ask, because well, I think it depends on the individual cases, but with a freedom of information request, you can't go wrong with it, really.
Jetzt Mikro 2, bitte.
Ja, wie geht es denn? Vergessen wir mal die Geheimdienste, die wir vorhin erwähnt haben.
Never mind secret services. What about other sensitive areas? For instance, the Ministry of the Interior. I mean, if you remember the Landesverrat affair, there's a lot of things you can do with a budget plan. For instance, to see how much money is spent on what things in which parts of the country.
In principle, this is exactly the core, the whole point of the Freedom of Information Act, to be able to get these kind of information. In that sense, definitely the question, where's the money being spent, how are the taxes being used, how are individual information technology technology being bought, what kind of contracts there are, how much money is being paid, this is all within the remit of the Freedom of Information Act.
Yes, thank you everyone. Thank you, Arne. Ask the state is a great thing. Let's see how soon the state turns out. And you've been listening to the translation of